There's a very, very simple lesson that we find in this parsha, Parshas Vayigash. Torah says that as Yaakov Avinu and his family prepare to go down to Mitzrayim, and they knew Yosef was alive, they were aware of the greatness and power of his position, and they're packing their bags and getting ready to move down to Mitzrayim. The Torah says, "Ves Yehuda sholach lefonov goyshno lehoyrois," that he sent Yehuda in front of them to Goshen, the place where they were going to live, lehoyrois. And simply, Rashi says it means to build houses. If you don't have housing and you arrive, where are you going to put? It's a big family with 70 people all together. They had to have housing. But Rashi brings a medrash that says lehoyrois, as the word may indicate, to set up a yeshiva. Sent Yehuda down to Mitzrayim to establish a yeshiva. That mishom teitzei hoiro, that from there, from that yeshiva, will go out the teachings to the broader community, to whoever's going to be there. I don't know whether it was only to affect their own people or to affect the Mitzrim as well. You know, we definitely know that there were many times in history where goyim used to come to the rabbonim when they had a dispute in business or in some other way with their friends or with their partners or with their enemies. They would come to the Rav to have a din Torah because they believed that they'll get an honest hearing. So we find this in Yerushalayim many times, Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld, Rabbi Shmuel Salant, many places throughout history, because they knew that the Rav goes according to Gashrus and according to truth, and there's no way of buying him off, and they'll surely get a fair hearing and a fair trial. So I don't know exactly who it was referring to, but it's very strange. Yaakov Avinu was the giant of giants. He was the greatest in Torah. Yaakov Ish. He was a Ish Tom Yoishev Eholim. That was his life. And he raised a family of Torah giants. This is a family with strength, spiritual strength, and Torah knowledge and Torah commitment, unprecedented in all of history, and maybe not even ever found again in all of history. And they're going down to Mitzrayim to live separately in Goshen, so they shouldn't be an eyesore to the Mitzrim who worshipped, who considered the cattle that they dealt with and the sheep that they dealt with as gods, and therefore they were going to be in a separate place. And they were being sponsored by none other than the Sheni Lemelech, the viceroy, they call him, by Yosef, who had the ultimate power. Other than Paro himself, he was all powerful in Mitzrayim. And they had everything going for them. And one would think, I would understand, to send Yehuda down to make houses. Okay, you know, they have to have houses, they want the proper housing. Maybe he has more sensitivity than Yosef or someone he would appoint to figure out exactly what they need. But to make a yeshiva, they'll come down there, they'll be the yeshiva. They're coming down with the greatest rabbi, the greatest Talmud Chochem, the greatest scholar. If it's a question of being able to have a place where Torah will be taught from and spread from, that'll happen. No, it had to be there first. It was the first prerequisite. There can't be a community. The community can't start from day one unless it's already established a Mokum Torah. There's a place to go to learn. There's a place to go to seek out the Dvar Hashem and to get the directives of how to live one's life. And without that, there is no community. I'll never forget, too many years ago that I would even want to remember, a few occasions, was sitting in on a Shabbos afternoon lunch in the dining room in Scranton, Pennsylvania. And there was an elderly Scrantonian there, a Jew who had lived for many years in Scranton. Traditional, I don't think he was really religious, but a very traditional person. And we're talking about the future of this community, which seemed to be on the verge of dying out. And certainly the Jewish community, that once it was a very prominent Jewish community, but it was on the way down, it was dwindling, it was dying out. And I remember him telling me, so, young man, you know, he was talking like with great authority, he says, what Scranton needs is industry. Now, I was a young man, but I always had a lot of chutzpah. And I said, no, Mr. So-and-so. His name happened to have been Harris. I said, no, Mr. Harris, what Scranton needs is a yeshiva. And we had this argument back and forth every time. I was a number of times I met him there. What Scranton needs is industry. I said, no, sir. What Scranton needs is a yeshiva. A yeshiva subsequently moved into Scranton. And although Scranton today is not the ear of Eretz Yisrael, that it's the metropolis of Judaism, of Jewish life, but it has maintained itself as a strong, vibrant Jewish community. And it's certainly only because there's a yeshiva there. And the yeshiva has become like the central force in the community, which strengthens, which inspires, which teaches, which preaches, which reaches out to the community, to the Jewish community, and makes all the difference in the world. And that's really what it's all about. I noticed in one of the magazines, someone showed me, I think it was last week, they had an article about they're running articles about different Jewish communities. And it had an article about Bayswater. And in this article, you know, they say, oh, this housing, which is a little bit more affordable, not that much more, but a little more affordable than some of the surrounding areas. And people have lawns, backyards, front yards. It's a very nice, aesthetically beautiful place. It used to be many years ago the summer home of the wealthiest people in New York. That's how some of these big houses were built here. Anyway, and in the article, they talk about this yeshiva that's there called Yeshiva Zichron Aryeh. And they say, it's become the center of a community, and people have moved in around it, and it's Rebbeim, and it's Koilel, and it's graduates, and so forth and so on. And it's really true. The center of a community, the force of a community, that which assures that the Torah will survive in the community, is that there's a mokum Torah, that there's a yeshiva, as Rashi says, mishom teitze hoiro. And it seems that without this, Yaakov Avinu couldn't bring his family down. Yaakov, with his shivtei kor, with the giants of Torah that they were, couldn't set foot in Mitzrayim and set up shop, even if they had appropriate housing for them, if there wasn't already preceding them. The minute they get there, I imagine that as soon as they move in, after they move in the first day, they got to go at night to learn in the yeshiva. They have to have some place where they're set, where they can go. We can ask a shayla, where we can discuss an issue. And this is critical, critical in the survival of the Jewish people. And the truth is that sometimes we don't fully appreciate the importance of a mokum Torah. I know I lived for many years in the San Fernando Valley. When we came to the San Fernando Valley, it was spiritually desolate. Desolate. There was nothing there. There wasn't even a mikveh in the community. People had to go a half-hour drive to the city to use the mikveh. Nothing there. And there was a shul there for many years. One would say, hey, that's beautiful. There's a shul there, an Orthodox shul, and there was a community surrounding that shul. But the Yiddishkeit was really, was hanging on by a thread, so to speak. All of a sudden, a yeshiva comes to town. Everything changes. Within a year, there was a massive upheaval in the community. It happened to be through the children, which is a very powerful vehicle to affect their parents. But there was a mikveh that was built very, very soon after that. And then other yeshivas developed, other shuls developed. The community today is an amazing community with literally thousands of religious people, you know, Shomrei Torah mitzvahs. One would not recognize it from what it was a few decades ago. That's the power of a yeshiva. It's a power like nothing else. The power of Torah to influence an environment is the greatest force that exists in all of creation. And it's critical that that force be there from the first moment. It's the most important ingredient. It's more important than industry in the community. It's more important than housing in the community, because it's the lifeline of the community. That's how we actually survive. And I think, therefore, that we should be very proud of the fact that here we are, 57, 75, that's 5,775 years from creation, 3,326 years since the Torah was given at Har Sinai, a glorious and very difficult history that preceded us, 2,000 almost years of exile, being cast and thrown and chased to the far-flung corners of the earth, having suffering so much at the hands of untold enemies. And the truth is, the enemies are gone. You could find some of them in the history books and in the museums, but they're gone. The Klal Yisrael has survived, and the Torah has survived with Klal Yisrael. And you people are today studying and observing the same Torah that has been observed and studied and fought for and died for thousands of years. It's nothing like this. Reb Yaakov Emden swears by his life that the miracles that have allowed for the survival of Klal Yisrael and the Torah with Klal Yisrael, that we today, not only are we here physically, but as we survive, committed to, living according to, studying the same texts that we have for thousands of years, he says, those miracles that have allowed that to happen are greater than all the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf, which were the greatest of the greatest of miracles, that this miracle is even greater. And we should be very honored to be part of that miracle. But I think it's very important to be able to continue and perpetuate that miracle, that we realize that the number one most important ingredient in Jewish life is a yeshiva, is a mokum Torah, is the commitment and the ability to study, to learn, to teach Torah. That's really what it's all about. And same thing when we build our own homes. We build homes, build a family, get married. Believe it or not, it's not that many years away. I mean, I know it sounds like light years, but it goes by very fast. And you're about to build your own home, and it's so critical that the pillar upon which it's built is that idea of Limud HaTorah, that there's learning. There's learning in this home. There's learning emanating from this home. There's teaching in this home. There's guiding the children in this home according to the Torah. And that's like, I mean, you know, most people have a couple of Sforim in their home, but that's not what it's about. It's about using them. It's about commitment to them. It's about appreciating how important they are. And I think that to the degree that we have this appreciation, to that degree that we assure that we survive, that our families will survive, that the Torah will survive, that the Klal Yisrael will survive, and that's really been the theme of all of our history. And I'd just like to Just mention just one more point. Yes. It's a delicate point, and it's. I hope it doesn't overwhelm anybody. But the Gemara in Shabbos, I think it's Daf Ches or Daf Tes, tells the story of Reb Zera and Reb Yirmiyah, two Amoraim, that were learning Torah together. And all of a sudden, Reb Yirmiyah jumps up, and the Gemara says it was late to Daven. I guess it must have been late for Mincha. And he jumps up to Daven Mincha. Reb Zera says to him, Yirmiyah, Olecha Omar Hakosu, Meisir Osnoi Mishmoya Toiro Gam Tfilosoi Toevo. About you, the Posuk in Mishlei says, one who turns his ears away from hearing Torah, also his tefillah, his davening is also abominable to Hashem. What's going on over here? What did he want from him? The Gemara says, and Rashi explains, it was late. He had to get up. He had to get up to daven. It was late. He was mechuyev. Tosfos later says that maybe he was from Talmidei Rav Shimon bar Yochai. He was potter from tefillah. But Rashi doesn't seem to learn that way. He had to get up. It was mechuyev to get up. What are you calling him? Meisir osne mishmoa Torah? The Torah is almanas lasois. It's in order to do the mitzvahs. That's what I learned for. And I'm getting up to do a mitzvah. What's the pshat? And meisir osne mishmoa Torah, the Mefarshim explained, that's a terrible thing. Gam tfiloso, what's the gam? Also, says everything in his spiritual persona will be devastated, will be diminished, will be affected negatively because he turns his ears away from listening to Torah. It affects his entire religious being. All because I got up to daven when I was supposed to daven because it was late to daven. So I think the pshat is like this. That, you know, the high school kids with the school bells, with the, you know, the bells that ring in between class. There are those kids that even before the bell rings, they're out in the hall. They don't have a watch, they have no idea, but something inside just tells them, I gotta get out of here. I gotta be outside. There are the others who, when the bell rings, they pack their books up and, you know, do what they're supposed to do, and they leave the room. There are those that are so engrossed in their learning that they don't even hear the bell ring. Bell? What? What are you talking about? All of a sudden, where did everybody go? I'm sitting here by myself. Reb Yirmiyah, Reb Zera, must have sensed in Reb Yirmiyah that yes, he had to get up to daven. That's true. But he got up too fast. He closed the Gemara too fast. He didn't get up with a krechts, with a frown on his face, indicating that oi, if I could only stay and learn. If I only didn't have to, I have to, I'm a chuyiv to, but oy, I feel so bad leaving the learning. And Reb Yirmiyah, in his infinite wisdom, he was a giant of giants, and his critique on Reb Yirmiyah, who is also a giant, is ever so subtle and slight, but he says, about you is the posuk, Meisir Ozne Mishmoa Torah, that even though your infraction was so small, and all it was about just not being so attached to the learning, And going to do what you had to do, but maybe it should have been with a little bit more of hesitation or a little bit more of pain. That difference in your connection to the Torah is going to spell the difference that all of your midos in the Mefarshim say and your mitzvahs. Gam tefilosoi, tefillah, which I would say is only ask Hashem for mercy. Even that is going to be negatively affected because you breached your connection to the Torah. Every dimension of connection to learning, every ounce of connection, every minute of connection, every sense of deeper appreciation of the importance of that connection makes a whole difference in our lives. And I believe that that's the reason that Yaakov had to be sure that he set up a yeshiva, that he had to send Yehuda down Lahoyrois to make a yeshiva that Shemishom Teitze Hoyro, to assure that this community where they're living, whether it was for themselves, whether it was even for the surrounding communities, that I don't know, but that this community has that most critical ingredient in place so that not even for a moment, not even for the first minute of arrival, that they're going to be lacking that source of deep connection to Hashem and to the appropriate way to live our lives, which is the most critical factor in all of Jewish life. So I just think that we should be very appreciative of the opportunities that we have here to learn. We should be very appreciative of the influence that we're having on the broader community. And I think we should also be very appreciative of all your Rebbeim who are working so diligently to make sure that you get the maximum out of your learning experience. Have a good Shabbos.